Hello and welcome again to Ask Mike Radio as we count down to number 500. That's right, folks, 500 shows, almost 10 years old. Ask Mike Radio is co-produced with Sinister One Productions. What's your podcast doing? I want to thank my sponsors, Joyce Asak of Asak Real Estate, Echo Six Ranch, and my supporters, Kason Shaving Company, Exceptional Parent Magazine, and Fight Camp. Be your strongest combination. That's right, folks, we're counting down to 500. This show keeps getting better and better. I still enjoy doing it. I have a blast every time I get on and talk with somebody. And my next guest and I have history, have collaboration. I've been on his show. I want to welcome Lance A. Slatton of All Home Care Matters, All Home
Thank
Care
you,
Matters,
Travis.
to Ask Mike Radio. Lance, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure to see you, my friend, and it's an honor to be here.
Hey, before we get started, I have to compliment you on the smoothness of your pate, of your head. I mean, what'd you do to get that shine going? Because that is truly, I'm mad jelly, as my kids would say right now.
Well, I would like to say you inspired it when we met, and so I ran home and shaved it. But unfortunately, it's just nature taking its course. But I will say, Travis, for you and I and our other male bald friends out there, just remember this: men that are bald have higher levels of testosterone.
For sure, 100%, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And we met at a very cool place, kind of by accident, but it was a really surreal and impactful time. We met at Elizabeth Dole's 10th annual convening in Washington, D.C. And, I'm getting set up in my room, and I have the Susan Davis people there handling me, which is kind of cool. And I see you guys rolling with the same kind of rig, setting up. I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. But before we get into all that good stuff, and it's all good, who is Lance A. Slayton? How did you get to this point? And
You
take
know,
your time.
yeah, thank you, Travis. I really like to just say what I would like to be thought of as somebody that's willing to help and go the extra mile, and somebody that is walks with integrity. Integrity is a word very important to me, and for those that aren't familiar with the word, it means, somebody with, good values, honesty, reliability and trust, which I think is something that we all need in our lives, is somebody, that works with a lot of various different situations with our company and with the podcast. And I really started out with, spending my summers with my grandparents who were from the South, and just idolized my grandparents. I had wonderful mom and dad. It wasn't a situation where, I had to be, broomed off to them. I chose and wanted to go with them from the time I was old enough to leave my parents and stay with them. And unlike a lot of my friends growing up, my grandparents weren't down the street or the city over. They were several states over. And so I would only really get to see them, at Christmas time or very special events. And so when I was old enough to leave them, I started staying. First it was like for a week during the summer, which was amazing because I had aunts and uncles and cousins. And then it became 2 or 3 weeks. And then it was really from the time school was out until a couple days before school was back in, I would spend the entire summer down there. But it also gave me a great appreciation for our elderly in our community. A lot of my friends didn't spend a lot of time with older adults, meaning grandparents, on that, amount of time and that extensive. And so I really, got to learn a lot from them, whether it was through history or, my grandmother's baking recipes, and she was a true Southern woman in every sense of the word. In fact, she never even got her driver's license, which was not unusual for her generation. And, unfortunately, when my grandfather passed away, now my grandma's alone and has this big house, and she can't go anywhere unless she relies on someone else to do so. And my aunts and uncles were still working. My cousins were, in school. And so fast forward, she ended up coming to live with us because there was an issue going on with her that nobody knew about. She was calling the police several times a month. And it was like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and she had a big empty house, and she had what is called dementia, but nobody knew that at the time. And so the police, being a small town, thankfully, they let the family handle business instead of them stepping in and taking over. But it got to the point where if she made one more call, they were gonna have to step in at that point. And so I loaded up my truck and drove all the way down there, packed grandma up. She came to live with my mom and my sister and I. And it was wonderful, and it really showed a tremendous benefit in helping to kind of put the brakes on her dementia. And up until the day she passed, I was with her every single day. When she had to go in a nursing home, I would go spend 3, 4 hours just sitting there. And the nurses and the aides were, "Oh, aren't you the greatest grandson?" And I said, "Well, no, she was the greatest grandma." And so I really grew an appreciation for that. But that tied into my professional desire, and my pursuit was medical school. And so that's what my goal was. And it was always to be able to help others. And that's how I chose that I wanted to do so. And then my fast forward again, my wife and I are newlyweds, and we get a call late at night. My father needed our help. Now, my father was a Marine from the 60s. Lived alone, never remarried after my parents divorced, and he had taken a severe fall on his tailbone. And with that Marine mentality, he wasn't going to let that stop him, and he
I don't
didn't.
know what you're talking about, Lance. I have no
Yes,
idea whatsoever.
right. And so he never addressed that bruise. And like you and I right now are sitting on our tailbones, and it's all of our pressure. And you're driving, you're sitting on it, you're eating, everything you do, and so that bruise developed into an abscess, and he was literally driving his car one day, and that abscess burst. And so when that abscess burst, that's all, very, very serious infection. It got into his tissues, it got into his bloodstream. So he had to have surgery. And being alone, the home healthcare nurse said, "I'm concerned he's not able to properly cleanse and dress this bandage." And I don't know that you or I could either, Travis, because of the location. We don't have arms in the back of our head, as they say. And so she said, "The choices are he can either come live with your wife and you for a couple of weeks until he gets better, or he'll have to go into a facility." My wife's already graduated. I'm, knee deep into my medical pursuit. And I said, "Well, yeah, he can come stay with us, of course," which I would hope most parents would have children that would say the same thing if they're able to. Well, that 2.5 weeks and that one surgery turned into 2.5 years and 7 major surgeries to the point where he had to go into a facility because he had to have IV antibiotics every day.
Wow.
And that's not something we could afford and most people could afford to do in the home. And so I said to my wife one day, and this is at like the 2.5 year mark, I said, "There's got to be help for people like us." I said, "Why don't we start it?" And the reason that's significant, Travis, is 2.5 years, multiple surgeries, multiple hospitalizations, and multiple 4 to 7 days a week, a nurse coming to our home, and no one ever told us about the resources that are out there for my father being a veteran first, but also as also a Medicare recipient, and for my wife and I as his primary caregivers. And so we didn't know there was stuff out there. So I thought I was inventing the wheel. And I said, "You know what? This is what I want to do to help people. People like us that are in our situation, there's got to be countless people out there." And so we decided to start our company. And then we discovered there's a whole industry out there. But we still decided to start it on our own and not use a franchise. And so that's what we did. And for the first 7, 8 years of our business, we're in Michigan. I was going, and our company, we were going all over the state running caregiver support groups. No charge, doing dementia seminars, no charge. Everything we did outside of our building, we were doing altruistically and for free. It was like
Wow.
a ministry in a way for us. And then COVID hit, and that brings us to All Home Care Matters. All of that community engagement and support for our communities all over Michigan stopped before our governor stopped it. We made that decision to protect the elderly, the vulnerable, and and our staff and ourselves. And so after that first 2 week shutdown or so, I said, "There's got to be a way we can get these resources out." I heard a podcast, never knew, honestly and embarrassingly, what a podcast truly was in every sense of the word. I thought it was major news networks and TV channels just giving you their content in audio format. Didn't know the average person could start one. And so I quickly discovered that. And I said, "We need to start a podcast while we're going through this bend the curve shutdown," not realizing it was going to last 2.5 years. Well, it almost was 3 years in Michigan, actually. And so that gave us 3 years to craft it, build it, and structure it to where we're at today. It never started out with that intention, but it's led to so many great things and, friends like yourself and events like the Elizabeth Dole convening. It's been wonderful, but I'm getting to also scratch that itch that I have of being able to help people. And the podcast has given us the ability to do that on a much grander scale than me driving all around Michigan doing it, with, small communities and stuff. Now every community can access it, and we're just hopeful we're helping people.
One thing that comes to mind as you talking about your story is the aspect of geriatric care in the geriatric population. And it's not something I know a lot about, but I'm very concerned and very inquisitive because I've read story after story where a veteran like your father is alone, and his children might be a zip code away or even across the country, and someone comes in and helps him. And before, they know it, the house, the cars, the bank accounts are empty, the house and the cars are signed over to some nameless entity, and he's essentially homeless or destitute time and time again. And so people wonder how that happens, and there's a lot of opportunity for bad things to happen. But also, it's not just that. When you get alone and isolated like that, you can't get the care you need, not just physically and mentally, but also emotionally. How does your company, cover not only the physical care, but also take care of the person that you're helping?
That's such a great point, Travis. And I'm going to kind of answer that in two sections
Okay.
really briefly. One of the things I want your audience and everybody to be aware of, there is first and foremost, there is help out there. It may not be entirely free help. It may not be what fits your situation. And we'll talk about some of the resources. But first and foremost, when you do find that your loved one's in that situation, or even yourself for that matter, make sure if you're going to hire somebody, make sure they've gone through background checks, make sure they've gone through screenings. Because for us here in Michigan, we're what's called a non-licensed state for home care. So you have home health care, which is covered by Medicare, which is up to 9 weeks at a time. It can be extended, but they're only going to come in the home to address and take care of one specific skilled need. So, like for my father, prime example, they were coming to the home, didn't cost him anything. It was covered by his Medicare, but they would only address his wound. They would cleanse it, they would look at it, they would review it, and then they would bandage it, and then they're leaving. Then the physical therapist, occupational therapist would come one day, and one day the other would come. They're only coming to work on strengthening exercises and things like that. If my father needed a shower, a bath, a meal, groceries, a prescription, they're not doing any of that. They're not going to take him to a doctor's appointment. It's first and foremost, you are homebound per the Medicare guidelines. You can leave for barbershop, which I would be safe and you'd be safe. You can leave for, spiritual worship, church or what, whatever your belief is, or a special occasion like a funeral or a wedding. Other than that, though, you can't just come and go as you please and then get back home for your appointment. You have to be housebound, hence why you don't pay for anything and Medicare covers it, because you're saying, I am not capable physically or otherwise of going to a doctor's appointment. They need to come to me. Not every doctor, like if it's a specialist and stuff, they're not coming. And most physicians don't come to the house either. That is a special, different situation that is possible. But it's going to be like a social worker, a registered nurse, or a licensed practical nurse, and then your occupational or physical therapist. That's really the core group that's coming out through your Medicare services. Our services, which is home care, we can come in 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And you're either paying out of pocket, or for our veterans, there is something called aid and attendance, which I'm sure you're probably familiar with, but there is qualifiers for that. So if, like my father, he did not serve during Vietnam, so he or any of the other recognized declared United States conflicts, so he didn't earn wartime status. So they look at your DD-214 to say, okay, wartime or just active duty, and he didn't qualify for that. But then let's say he did. Let's say my dad served in Vietnam, so he got that wartime status. That's really the first, gatekeeper. But then after that, they're going to look at your financial qualifications. Do you qualify for aid and attendance financially? And that's where a lot of our veterans, they miss out because they don't qualify financially. A lot of them, when they came home from war, they got an education or they got a good job or they started a business. Then that aid and attendance would not be available to them. But let's cancel all that out, and let's say they did qualify for wartime and financially, then they can get help. And the VA will give them X amount of money per month to pay towards their care that they need. You know, there's paperwork you got to fill out, and a physician has to declare you need assistance and things like that. But let's say you're the spouse of a wartime veteran who would have qualified financially, but that war veteran has passed on. The spouse also qualifies. It won't be for the same amount of money, but the spouse still qualifies if she or he needs help, and their husband or wife qualified for all the other stuff. They can still get help, which is wonderful. But let's say the husband and the wife both need help and they qualify, then you're getting more money and both of you are covered for help. So it's a wonderful resource that the VA offers our veterans, wartime veterans. Me personally, I wish it was available to all veterans, regardless of their status of wartime or not, just because I feel like they have served, they have made themselves available to our country and to the defense of our freedoms. But I don't make those rules, so it doesn't matter what I think. Then there is something else, Travis, for home care that's called long-term care insurance. I always encourage families, especially the adult children, because sometimes you're dealing with a situation where mom or dad maybe cognitively have started to decline and things get confusing or they're not able to provide that information. Make sure mom and dad don't have long-term care insurance before you start paying out of pocket for care, because long-term care insurance is a wonderful resource that will help pay for that care almost indefinitely, depending on the policy.
You do this and you start going down this road, and with this, you've said ministry, we were talking with you previously. What happens when one of your clients, customers, you know, people you're helping out gets the care? And I have to think for, and I've seen it myself, where an adult child is stressed. They're trying to get their kids through college. They're trying to deal with their own career path at that time in their lives. And mom and dad need their help. And it feels like they're alone or isolated. What happens as people start, you know, taking your services and being able to get the help they need?
Well, one, it really it's not only helping their loved one that needs the care. You know, we treat, you know, kind of like I would love to see our medical community, you know, take this approach. And some doctors are now, when you see a family member bringing a loved one to that appointment, and it's obvious that that family member is that support, treat it like you have two patients. One needs the healthcare support, the other needs the social care support. You know, put them in touch with your area agency on aging, put them in touch with local support groups. You know, ask them, you know, is there something we can do to help within our abilities to assist you in caring for mom or dad? Would it be easier, and is it, you know, practical and appropriate, maybe we do a Zoom meeting so you don't have to, you know, load up the wheelchair, transfer mom or dad into the car, you know, make that journey here, you know, because those little things add up, right? And so what we try to do is support not only the loved one that we're caring for, but however we can support the family members too, because, you know, statistically, the family caregiver, and I mean this in the sense of the person that's the primary support, and sometimes it's two, which is a real wonderful thing, but it's not always the case, unfortunately, that's providing that care for the mom, the dad, or whoever it may be. Their health is going to suffer quicker than the person they're caring for. And why? Because
Really?
everything, yes, it's statistically, I don't have the stats in front of me, but if the person's over 70, you know, it's maybe 30 some percent that they're going to pass or precede that person in death that they're caring for. Their health is going to suffer as a consequence. And the older the person gets, the higher the stats go that that person that is caring for them's health is going to suffer and precede them in death. It's not uncommon. I mean, I've seen it firsthand with our company where, you know, we might be helping a gentleman who has Alzheimer's. We're maybe only there 3 days a week, and mom, you know, prideful and doing her what she feels is her wife's duty and responsibility to care for him when we're not there. She's neglecting eating right, sleeping right, her own personal hygiene. Maybe she's treating for, you know, diabetes or high blood pressure or what have you, and she's foregoing all of that in duty to care for her husband. And so we try to support that role. And a lot of times they just feel like, you know, they need that permission almost that it's okay. You're not neglectful. You're not shrugging off your duties. You know, I like to say, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of your loved one.
Right,
So
right.
in a way, that's part of being a caregiver to your loved one is caring for yourself.
You've done this for a while, and then you got asked to come to the 2025 Elizabeth Dole's convening. How did that happen? And kind of give us a run through of your experience there, because for me, it was a great experience and got to meet people like yourself, but also you just realize that the aspect of care is something that is not, profiled enough.
Oh, 100%. I love this question. And so first, I want to say maybe March-ish, could have been early April, but a month or two before the convening was held, our team had received an email from the folks at Susan Davis International, who are just amazing, and it was basically a two-pronged ask of us. One was, would you be willing to feature someone from our team to talk about the upcoming convening? And of course, absolutely, however we can help you guys. And then the second part was, we'd also like to extend an invitation if you would like to come to the convening. And we get a lot of invitations, and sometimes it's boilerplate. It's a copy and paste, just like a mass thing. So we said, yeah, we'd love to. Can we learn more about it? So my team arranged a call with the Susan Davis team, and I said, we'd love to come. Is this something we're going to be covering? Are you just asking us to come as a guest? Like, what are you envisioning? And then they proceeded to share, we'd love to have you come cover it. We can arrange some interviews with you, and kind of just give you, the press credentials to do what you would like to do. And so, I mean, that was an immediate yes. And when we got there, I don't know for yourself, I mean, I thought we were the guest of honor. It was such a warm welcome and so inviting. They ensured throughout the entire day they were right there with us. Do you need anything? Can we help you? I mean, it was just tremendous.
Well,
And
right.
then,
Just if I may,
yeah,
because
please.
you and I have both gone to these things where it's like, oh, you're here. Yep. Hey, see you later. Thanks.
Yes.
Take the selfie. Hey, we got this guy here, and then you're just left alone.
Yes.
I got
Yes.
there and was checked in, and then I told people I got like a handler. Hey,
Yeah.
you need water or food? You come to me.
Yeah.
What can I do for you, and how can I make your experience better? It was not that special.
100%, 100%. And my wife had texted me because originally my video guy and I, we were gonna drive there the day before and get in probably late, wake up early and spend the whole day there, and then drive back. And I really personally wasn't looking forward to that. I was gonna do it. And then I got thinking and I said, man, this would be a great opportunity for my kids, because I have very, young kids, and for my wife. And it took a little arm twisting. I had to call in the heavy guns, my mom. And because I like to joke, if my mom had to pick between my wife and I don't know that I'd want to have to face that decision, because I think she'd pick my wife. But I say that in jest. I mean, we're just very fortunate that her family and my family, I mean, we have Thanksgivings together, Christmases together. So it's not like, well, we got to go to the in-laws and we got to get back to my family, which is nice. So, and my mom, convinced her. And so ultimately my kids went. So we went 2 days early. One day really for driving, and then when we got in, we hung out around I can't remember where we were at, but it's where the big Ferris wheel is right there on the Potomac. And met up with some friends from our industry who I'd never met in person but have known for years. And the next morning we did the whole entire day in DC, which was incredible and really great for my kids to really have an appreciation for the country. Not that they didn't. But it's one thing to sit there and talk about it, but it's another thing to actually be there
Right.
and see it and witness it. And then the next day was the convening. And then so my wife dropped the camera guy and I off at the Ronald Reagan building. I'm a little jealous. They went over to Ford Theater and did the tour and got to go
Oh,
where,
nice.
President Lincoln was unfortunately assassinated. But a lot of just amazing history. And they're looking forward to next year. And I said, well, hopefully we'll get invited back, because it was so great. And it was just a wonderful, experience for the kids also. And yeah, I mean, we got to meet you, and I'll never forget, if you remember this, Dakota, our camera guy, I think he said to you sometimes, he's like, "Are you on TV by any chance?" Because when we were upstairs in that room with the fellows for those interviews, like, he's like, "I just kept hearing his voice." And it's like, "Wow, who is this guy?" You know, and it's, I mean, your listeners probably already know this, but it was just an incredible voice. And it was like, man, this guy's got to be very famous somehow, somewhere, you know? And yeah, and so we got to connect there, and you know, we
Tell
had you
that
on our
so
show.
tell me about that. Not my voice, but you know, I'll tell you how I felt, but tell me how it felt sitting down with those fellows, because the reason, just, you hear hero, you hear superstar, you hear all these terms banging about, but then you get to meet these fellows and it really hits you that these are special people.
110%. You know, first part I'll add to that before I answer the question directly. I really hate that hero, superstar, famous. I hate that our society puts too much emphasis, and I'm a big athlete. I mean, I love sports, but they put too much emphasis on the heroes and the superstars being athletes or Hollywood celebrities when it should be our fire, our police, you know, and especially our military. I just feel like our priorities should be focused on those people because, you know, if I'm in trouble, I'm not calling a basketball player. You know, I'm calling the police or I'm calling the EMS or if our country's in trouble, we're calling the military. You know, those are the heroes. That's the life and death reality. And, you know, I always say to people, I'm like, you know, our country's so special because these men and women that volunteer, being the very, very operative word here, they volunteer to do this. They're not made to do it, you know. And I said, that is a hero to me. That is a superstar. And I know, well, I assume to know like yourself and others, but you guys don't even think that way, right? You're like, I'm doing my service. I'm doing my duty to my country. You don't walk around and say, well, I'm really the superstar, right? But athletes do and celebrities do. So that, you know, it shows the difference. It's a whole different person. But talking to the fellows, you know, the one, Leanna Redshaw, that we were fortunate enough to interview was not our original scheduled person. So I did not do any pre-production research on her or anything. It was when it was time, oh, this is going to be taking the place of this other person. Unfortunately, she couldn't come, which is a very real reality when you're a family caregiver. You make plans and you make commitments, but you can't always keep them because you don't know if something may happen with your loved one that prevents you from doing so. And so the person we were supposed to interview wasn't able to make it. And we were interviewing Leanna Redshaw. And we interviewed GR Zuniga as well, which is another tremendous story. But Leanna really resonated with me because she had young children. She was expecting, and she's younger than I am. I'm 45. I think she's probably mid early 30s. And her husband was doing active duty drills stateside. I believe it was disaster training or hurricane, you know, something along those lines. He was jumping out of a helicopter, hit his head on the crossbar when he's jumping out and landed. And, you know, it rattled him pretty good, but he continued on, right? And it reminded me of my father, just continued on. And it was getting worse. And they went to the doctor and he had a TBI, a traumatic brain injury. That traumatic brain injury, they believe, led to him then developing early onset Alzheimer's. And the man's younger than I am. And he had a baby on the way at the time she was expecting. The baby wasn't even born yet. And they had two or three other children, all, I believe, under the age of 10. And it got to the point where he could no longer live at home and they had to put him in a facility. The man's a young man. I mean, he was still serving active duty, you know, and as she's telling, and again, and I say this, Travis, I didn't know anything about her story ahead of time. So I feel myself getting a little emotional. She is getting emotional where, you know, she did start crying, which is totally appropriate, acceptable, and fine. And I had to flag down the Susan Davis people because I'm like, we need a box of Kleenex at this table because, you know, she's just letting it all out, you know. And for me, it was a great sense of pride in the sense that this woman felt safe enough and comfortable enough to publicly share her story with the world. And I'm a stranger. She doesn't know from Adam, and she's comfortable in sharing that. And we want to take that trust and, very, graciously and, really respect it and honor it. So I was, I would ask, the one time I did ask her, I said, "Do you mind me asking this? If not, we can skip it. But, what is that, what is it like having to explain that to your young children?" I said, and I'm asking more for our viewers, but also for my own inquisitiveness, because I have young children and I cannot imagine having to sit down and explain to them, mom, because I'm the dad, mom doesn't know you anymore. Mom's not going to be mom anymore, and mom can't live with us anymore. I mean, those children have now all lost a childhood of a father, because that father voluntarily chose to serve. And the Susan Davis people and, Elizabeth Dole, they're there to, amplify this resource. So there's other families out there like Leanna who may not be aware of the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. They may not be aware of these resources that they're offering these veterans and their caregivers. And as you know, Elizabeth Dole also has something called Hidden Heroes, where hero is appropriately used.
Right,
And it's
right.
the children taking care of their parent who served. And I just think it's incredible, remarkable work that they're doing there.
So one thing that's going on with this is I go to Elizabeth Dole, I meet you, and I learn more about this, and I understand that, this geriatric care part of medical care, is it part of medical care strictly, or is it its own thing?
Well, so if you're over a certain age, you go to a gerontologist, which
Okay.
is the specialty of senior care. They are practicing geriatric care. And one of the things that we're trying to do in the country, though, is we need more geriatric specialists, because often families, and there's no not right or wrong, often families, you start with a pediatrician, and then when you're about 11, 12, 13, then you start going to just a regular primary care doctor. A lot of pediatricians will keep you till you're 18. Some won't. It just depends. And then once you go with that primary care doctor, if you're fortunate enough, you're with that doctor forever. And there is a thing to be said, though, about going to a specialist nowadays, especially with like dementia and Alzheimer's and cognitive decline issues, where that's they have a specialty in understanding that more than just your primary care physician will, right? Because the primary care physician is kind of a generalist. If you have a sore throat, if you have a rash, if you need a sports physical, things like that. And then they can refer you out to specialists. But geriatric care is extremely important because, as a result of World War II, our population exploded. And we're now at the point, and we've been at the point for a few years now, where that term baby boomers is in full effect, and it's going to continue until about the year 2040, I believe, where we have somebody every day, multiple, hundreds of people, thousands, if not thousands, hitting the age of, 60 or over. And we need to be able to support them. And
Well,
if I could just.
that was my next thing. Like this geriatric, this caring for the older generation, older population is only going to increase in scale, right?
Dramatically. Yes. And we aren't equipped to support it.
We're
And
not.
that's just a known fact. And I was going to use the analogy to just kind of harken back to COVID briefly. Remember, they were bringing in the naval medical ships, right?
Yep.
They were putting up, I know here in Michigan, we were getting warehouses. We were putting up tents in parking lots when the weather permitted, and the hospitals couldn't support it. That's kind of the baby boomers. If every baby boomer got sick at the same time, we're in trouble because, our infrastructure wasn't built with the baby boomers in mind. That's the bottom line. And then now, here, at least in Michigan, you see a lot of our local community hospitals are closing down because you have the big, name hospitals are kind of pushing them out of business. That's not necessarily a good thing because, if you go from having four or five hospitals in your community to now one or two, the ratio of beds and, accessibility to care has been diminished dramatically.
What's next then for your business and your future in your career then, Lance?
For me, we just want to continue helping people. Last year, Travis, and this was really inspired by my situation with my father. I write articles for several of the online news sites, and I wrote my book finally. And I didn't write it to say, I'm an author or anything, but I wrote it just like I said, with your viewers and our viewers. There's a Leanna Redshaw out there that doesn't know about the Elizabeth Dole Foundation and all the tremendous resources they offer. There's a family caregiver out there that doesn't know what they don't know. We see it every day with our company side of things. And so I wanted to write my book in hopes that it will help somebody somewhere. My book isn't a book in the sense where you got to start at page one and end at the last page. It's a guide, but it's written in chapter format with a lot of resources, but it's more of a map. And so, like, if I was coming to visit you out in Massachusetts, I would need a map to pull out of my driveway to get going there,
Right,
right?
right.
But I'm still going to need that map even when I'm crossing through until I reach your doorstep. So whether I'm at the beginning of my journey or I'm at the middle or towards the end, the book, just like the map, can help you at no matter what stage you're in at that moment, or that you're entering into. And so we just want to help support these family caregivers because there's 64 million plus, 64 million plus unpaid family caregivers that we know of in the United States, and I'm sure that number is a lot higher. Some people, like for myself, I never identified as a family caregiver. I identified as a son helping out his dad, right? And that's, I think, a majority of a lot of people's outlook on it. They don't hear that word caregiver or family caregiver, and a lot of people aren't asked. I was never asked by a survey, are you a caregiver or not? So that 64 million is probably extremely higher, but it also has a dramatic effect on our entire country's infrastructure. Because if I had been working full time and not still in college, I was working at the university, but if I had like a career job at that time, I would have probably had to leave work, take FMLA or do something along those lines. So now my employer is going to lose my productivity. Right. And then it's going to cost them money because now they got to hire a replacement. I mean, it's a snowball effect. It's not just affecting those people inside that house, it's affecting the community also, and we just need to find more ways to be able to help support these family caregivers and especially our veterans.
In that vein, we have this problem at scale. And I'm reading about the demographic implosion in China and a lot of Asia, and they're turning to things like robotics and AI to kind of fill this need. Is that science fiction? Is that propaganda? Or is that something that might actually be a viable solution to help alleviate some of the problem?
I think it can help with some of the problem, but when you're caring for another person, and I kind of make the analogy like if you have a loved one in a nursing home versus getting cared for in their own home, the care may be very similar, but the way it's delivered and how it's delivered, and most importantly, how it's received is entirely vastly different, right? So if you are taking care of me, Travis, and you come in and I'm normally, oh, hi, Travis, how are you? And you're like, how are you doing today, Lance? And I'm normally bubbly, upbeat, but the next day you come in and I'm kind of really down, and you just know because you know me now. Man, what's wrong? You want to talk about it? That's something a robot can't do for us,
Right,
right?
right.
And I feel like there's a role that technology can and should play, but I don't feel like it's ever going to be a substitute for having that human interaction, that warm touch, that hug, that pat on the back, whatever it may be. And, we don't want to, I mean, we already, I feel like, drive society apart so much now with social media and internet and everything. We're just driving a further wedge in it now, too, with something that's very, I mean, something that's very sacred, in my opinion, and that's caring for other people at their most vulnerable. And you ever had your computer go crazy on you and you got to
Right.
reboot it? I'm sure these robots would have the same issue. I know there's people that use, technology in a lot of great ways, whether it's remote monitoring, programmed, medicine dispenser, different things like that. But actually, I can't envision right now a robot having the dexterity as well, or the intelligence. And I don't mean just like AI intelligence. I mean like human intelligence to, give a person a shower, right? our elderly, their skin is very thin. It's very, frail. A robot, if the person says, ouch, does a robot have that ability to soften the way they're scrubbing the back? Or, I'm not saying it'll never get there, but I just hope it doesn't get there because I feel like we need that human component still because we are human and, we do have emotions. And I don't know that robots would be able to fill that void.
People are watching this and listening to this, and you have your own show, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But if they're in a situation where they have a geriatric care issue, problem, or challenge that they just can't meet, are you nationwide or local only to Michigan? How's that work?
Yeah, so we are just in Michigan. We have had opportunities to franchise outside of Michigan. We're a little protective still at this point. We have been the number one company in Michigan now for 6 years, something we're very proud of, and I think it goes back to our integrity and our values. And we don't want to jeopardize that brand. We've had families that have gone to the well-known home care brands. They didn't even know they were franchises. Like if I say Burger King, Wendy's, McDonald's, Big Mac, Dave's Deluxe, Whopper. If I say company A, B, and C, you could not tell me which one's a franchise or which one isn't, or most importantly, what makes them different. To me, this is an industry where the person makes all the difference in the world. There's no secret recipes or dressings or, combo meals. And so we are local. The show, though, is international. We've had a lot of calls from people in other states wanting us to take care of their loved ones, and we have to kind of explain how that works. But no, we just at this point are happy serving Michigan. In the future, that may be something on the horizon, but right now we just love helping however else we can.
Last couple of questions. You do a
You're fine.
podcast like I do. It was great watching you at the Elizabeth Dole convening. You definitely have, poured a lot into your craft. How can people listen to that, and what's the purpose of the podcast?
Yeah, well, they can go on YouTube and all the podcast streaming platforms or go to our website, allhomecarematters.com, and that will link you everywhere. And really, it got started as a temporary thing, and we realized this is a great way that we can continue to benefit people. And, when we meet a guest or we meet a friend like you, it's an added bonus. And we like to develop relationships. I like to say we don't specialize in one-time customers. We want people to remain in contact with us and that keep that relationship going. And we like to help support others that are doing, similar work. You're a military radio broadcast, podcast, streaming program. And anytime we can help support your work, we're going to do it. And, if I could just add, though, Travis, for me, and this was just a brief, quick story, if I have a moment.
Yeah, sure.
I've been asked, who's the most memorable guest? Because, like yourself, we've done senators, governors, you name it. And, the most memorable for me and that meant the most for me was our show's 5.5 years old. When we were probably just about a year old, we had a lady from Australia email us and she wanted to come on the show. And so we're like, well, share what's going on. And she said, yeah, I've been listening to you guys. I just found you by accident. And she says, I want to know if I could share my story for the first time ever. And she proceeded to share what that was. And this is a lady in a small, small town in Australia, not even one of their major, metropolitan areas. And so we're kind of like, this is really kind of surreal. And she had a son that was born with Williams syndrome.
What's
And
that?
I'll, well, it's, It's a developmental issue that causes some, issues for people. And, when you look at them, it's a lot of the facial features and things like that. And she said, but I made a decision when my son was born and we received that diagnosis. I'm never going to tell him until he's an adult. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And she had never shared it. And she wanted to share it publicly with us for the first time. And we said, well, why us? And she said, because I've been listening to you, I've looked you guys up, and she's, I just feel a sense of comfort with you guys. I feel like you're kind, you're not just looking for likes and clicks. And she says, I don't know what it is, but I just feel a connection with you guys. And so we had her on, and that's always stood out, that the trust to tell a story. Her son was like 18, 19. She did finally tell him, but she chose us in the United States from a little tiny community in Australia to share that for the first time ever. That just meant so much to us, and we never take that kind of trust in, for granted.
Right.
And but it also spurred a question in my head. I've never really had a satisfactory answer. I'm a father, but I'm also a son. Would I have wanted my parents to tell me? But then the flip side to that is, if one of my children were born with Williams syndrome or something else, would I tell them? I don't have an answer.
I'm drawing a blank right now. I don't know what the right answer would be, or even if I
Right.
had an answer, right?
Right. Yeah. And by the time we recorded, she's, at the end, I believe it was on camera, maybe it was off camera, but she had said, yeah. And she goes, my son, he was living in Canada. She said, my son, for the first time, flew from Canada all the way to Australia by himself. I mean, that was a very, very big deal and a little nerve-wracking for her, but he kept in contact throughout the travel. But I just, A, the trust that she placed in us and just the comfort she had in sharing it with us. But then subsequently being in that situation, I don't know what I would do, and I just thought that was interesting. But I just want to share that. That's the guess that's always stood out above all others.
Yeah, but that's you have that one guest, and let me guess, if you ended your show right now, your show affected someone's life in a positive way. You can't put a price tag on that, can you,
No,
Lance?
you cannot. Not at all. And that we say that all the time, even when we were still traveling around Michigan, Travis, doing all of these events for free and, meeting these communities and these individuals, some we still keep in contact with to this day, even though their loved one has passed on. I've always said, if we go to do this big event and there's a lot that goes into preparing and setting up and your time, and even if only one person's there, that's the one person we're meant to reach. And you don't know who that one person will then benefit with what they've learned down the road. It's quite a situation when you really think about it.
All right, we're going to end this maybe on a sour note, but are
Oh.
you're a Michigan athletic fan, Michigan sports fan?
I think our connection just got unstable,
Okay.
Travis. I can't hear you.
We're
Yes, go blue. Go
going
blue.
to leave that alone because I got all the information I needed. But the thing here, ladies and gentlemen, is so many veteran families I run into, just in the veteran space, Lance, struggle with this and are struggling right now. And I hope you get out of this that you don't have to. Even if he's in Michigan and you're in Ohio, you can reach out to Lance. He'll come. He will get back to you because the care is there. And I think closing this out, Lance, what really got me and why I wanted to connect with you, and even though we had some bumps this summer scheduling, was, I'm hearing you just like you're hearing me. I'm hearing what you're doing at that room that we're in. And I'm like, this person, this guy, I didn't know your name at the time, really cares about who he's talking to. This is not just some, TikTok, clickbait thing. Like, he's really pouring his effort into this. And so I think that's the main difference between people like yourself and people who are just in it for the money. So I appreciate you coming on. I'll have all the links to, all Home Care Matters in the Oscar Mike Radio show post. You can check out Lance. Lance, 2026 is here. We're coming up. I hope we get to see each other in Washington, D.C. again.
I do too. And if not, we'll find a way to connect, Travis.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you need to reach out, please do. Do not struggle in silence. And as we say in Oscar Mike Radio, we are mission in flight. Thank you again.
Thank you.